Great to have you along for the ride. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Always a pleasure to have this guy on District 4 Republican, the great state of Ohio. It is Jim Jordan. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Good to be with you today.
Really good to have you back on. And I've sort of been waiting in line to have you back on because I was cheering and applauding and standing ovating for you the other day when you stood up to Jerry Nadler, who is such a hypocrite. I mean, just the impeachment stuff alone, you can go back to when Clinton was impeached and when Trump was impeached. But all you wanted to do in this hearing was to, in talking to Merrick Garland, for some reason, he had to get a job. Now he's the attorney general because he didn't make it to the Supreme Court. We had to give him something. And this guy signed on to going after parents as domestic terrorists because they were standing up for their kids. All you wanted to do, Jim, was show a video in the hearing of parents at school board meetings. Take it from there.
Yeah, it wasn't like the video was some Academy Award winning video. It was 3 minutes, I think, and 48 seconds. It was just your basic video showing moms and dads going to school board meetings and saying, we don't want this CRT, this racist, hate America curriculum taught to our kids. And oh, no, they can't show it. But it's sort of emblematic of the left. Like, how dare parents weigh in? We're the left. We're the government. We're smarter than moms and dads. Yeah, it was pretty ridiculous, frankly, the Democrats not to do it because it wound up getting more attention than if it had just played the video.
Right.
But yeah, this whole thing was terrible what they did. And it's no accident that 24 hours after our hearing last week, the school board association had a little change of heart, a little come to Jesus moment and said, whoa, we better apologize for this ridiculous letter that we sent and the activity that the Justice Department has engaged in since then.
He's got a brand new book out. It's called Do What You Said You Would Do, Fighting for Freedom in the Swamp. It's Jim Jordan. You know, in watching that whole thing unfold, I'm starting to connect the dots. And I want you, if you don't mind, to go through the chronology of it. But it sounds to me like the school board wrote a letter to the president. Let's take it back even further. Parents showed up and said, you guys suck. You're not doing a good job. You're teaching my kids what I don't want taught. And I'm your boss. I pay your salary. The school board had a problem with that. The school board association then gets a hold of the White House, sends them a letter. The White House then tells Merrick Garland, start investigating. Merrick Garland puts out a letter that says, we're going to look at parents as domestic terrorists. Jim, do I have it right? Is that really what happened?
No, I think you're right on target. I also think there may have been coordination between the White House and the Justice Department with the school board association before all that. Certainly the White House and the school board association, at least that's what it seems. But the timeline was so, I mean, September 29th, the School Boards Association writes the President of the United States. 5 days later, October 4th, the Justice Department does exactly what the School Boards Association asked the President of the United States to do, namely, get the FBI involved in local school board matters. And in the memo, Justice Garland says, in the memo that he sent out to all the U.S. attorneys, to the FBI, he says, there's been an uptick in violence. I asked him during the hearing, what did you base that uptick in violence or threats of violence? What did you base that on? Right. The only thing he based it on, the only evidence he had, was the letter from the school boards.
Wow.
There wasn't any independent study or any independent investigation done. And at the end of that memo, he says, we're going to set up a dedicated line of communication for threat reporting. In other words, a snitch line on parents. That's what he set up. And so we questioned him at this hearing, and it was so, I think the American people were so upset with this that 24 hours later, the School Boards Association issues an apology. It wasn't just your normal apology, Joe. They apologized twice in one paragraph. They say, we regret and apologize for the letter. Later in that same paragraph, they say, we apologize for the stress and strain this has caused you. I mean, this was an apology that you just don't get in this business from a left-wing political organization.
Right.
So that's how bad it's gotten, simply because, as you point out, parents were willing to go to school board meetings and say, we don't want this racist, hate America curriculum taught to our kids.
It's District 4. Absolutely. District 4 Republican, the great state of Ohio. It's Jim Jordan. The book is Do What You Said You Would Do, Fighting for Freedom in the Swamp. I urge everybody to go and get that right now. In this day and age of technology, everybody's got a phone, everybody's got a video camera, everybody's got a microphone on them at all times. We would have seen some really egregious parents going nuts and attacking people if that were happening. The most egregious thing we saw was a parent in Virginia who was taken away in handcuffs because the school board and the school specifically and the superintendent were lying about his daughter getting raped in school. We're looking at the parents as domestic terrorists, and we're not looking at school boards and school districts and faculty as potentially harboring criminals. I mean, to that moment, that school still said, oh, we have no idea what you're talking about. No, there were police reports, Jim. Fill me in on that. I mean, parents should be getting involved, and they're being pushed away by our employees. It's weird.
No, well said. A tragic situation here in Virginia. And the fact that the Attorney General of the United States, after issuing this memo, you know, doing all that he did, didn't know about that specific situation here in Loudoun County, Virginia, where the school board and critical race theory has been such a big issue.
Right.
The fact that he didn't know about it, I find almost unbelievable. But that's what the Attorney General testified to in the hearing. But it just underscores how bad this is. That and maybe even worse. That was one of the incidents in the letter that the School Boards Association wrote to the President of the United States about this guy getting handcuffs, not telling the full story, not telling why this gentleman, this dad, was so upset. And the lady who wrote that, who wrote the letter from the School Boards Association, guess what? She just got hired by the Biden Department of Education for this plum job in the education department. That's how this makes me think this was all coordinated right from the start. We sent a letter yesterday asking the Attorney General, in light of everything that's happened, in light of the apology more than 24 hours, after your hearing, in light of all that, we're asking you to rescind the memorandum that you put out to the U.S. attorneys and to the FBI director on October 4th. Let's hope he does that.
Jim Jordan for Congress.com. Get his book, Do What You Said You Would Do, Fighting for Freedom in the Swamp. Was there a conflict of interest from day one, Jim, when it came to Merrick Garland and his son-in-law, when it comes to critical race theory? There's an allegation that his son-in-law somehow is part of some group that does CRT, which we're now calling SEL. We're changing the name of CRT because it's so toxic now. Is there a conflict of interest here?
Yeah, well, it was funny. I thought Mike Johnson did a great job when he posed those questions. Did you go through the proper ethics council at the Department of Justice, see what they said about this relationship that you're doing this memorandum, going after parents, setting up the snitch line on parents, and parents are upset about what's going on in their schools. And the thing they're upset about is this critical race theory that your son-in-law, his company, promotes this kind of curriculum to thousands and thousands of schools across the country. Did you check it out? And of course, his answers were no, there was no ethical no concern whatsoever.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't really answer the question, did you check it out with the key lawyers in the Justice Department, as is required under proper, you know, the protocol for this kind of situation? So I thought that was one of the big takeaways. He didn't check that out, and he based the memorandum solely on the letter that the School Boards Association sent to the White House.
And knew nothing about the father in Loudoun County. Either he's a liar or he's extremely incompetent. And we have to decide that on Merrick Garland. Again, I don't know why the guy was owed a job somehow when he didn't get the Supreme Court justice seat. It's Jim Jordan, District 4 Republican, great state of Ohio. Jim Jordan for Congress.com. I urge you to get this book, Do What You Said You Would Do, Fighting for Freedom in the Swamp. Let me ask you a philosophical question, but it's probably less philosophical for you because I know you pretty well, and I know that you probably already tracked this down. Where did CRT come from? This is the mechanism that somebody put in place to make money, by the way. They're all getting very rich.
Yeah.
That says white people discovered the idea of race for the sole purpose of oppressing everybody, which doesn't make any sense. White people should feel guilty and everybody else should feel oppressed. So we're going to depress and knock down everybody of every race, every culture, every ancestry, so that a small amount of people can make $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a pop to either get into a corporate setting or into our schools. Where did it come from, Jim?
Yeah, well, my understanding is it came from this college professor. I mean, he was the primary proponent of it. But I don't care where it comes from. It's not consistent with what this country's about. We're about giving opportunity to everyone. It's not consistent with the message of Martin Luther King. It's not what America is about. This idea that I think it just divides us. I think it lowers people's expectations. I mean, in fact, this is what the Washington Post said last week, Joe. They said that all Americans should lower their expectations. And I'm thinking, like, that is so contrary to who we are as a people, as a country. We're the people who set big goals, who dream big things. And then because we have freedom and we're willing to work hard, we can accomplish those goals and those dreams. That's what America is about. And this curriculum seems to be just the opposite of that. So I forget what's the name of this college professor, but several professors come up with this curriculum, and it's harmful to our young people. It's not the right message. And I don't think it's consistent with the culture and the character of our great country. And again, that's why parents are mad. I'd be mad, too, if they were teaching to our kids. They didn't teach it to our kids in our little country public school where they went to.
Right.
Thank goodness for that. So that's why parents are standing up and pushing back. And I said in the hearing, I said to the attorney general, I think your memo is the last straw. I think it's the catalyst for a great awakening in Americans to begin to pursue freedom and push back on all the things we've seen the government do to restrict our liberties and freedoms over the last couple of years.
And you are exactly right. Do what you said you would do, fighting for freedom in the swamp. The author is U.S. Representative Jim Jordan. Now, a few quick hits here. Psaki last week said that the reason why we have a supply chain problem is that we all have too much money, the economy is too good, and we're all a bunch of greedy people buying stuff. True or not?
Totally,
what she said,
totally
Jim.
False. Yeah, no. Well, she said a lot of crazy. She said probably 7-8 weeks ago in the White House. Now think about this. She's the press secretary for the president of the United States in the press room in the White House. That's that location that's considered the center of freedom on the planet.
Yes.
And she says this. She said most Americans now get a lot of their news from social media platforms. We, the Biden administration, are actively working with these social media platforms to limit the information that the American people can see. And I'm like, you're the press person talking about limiting the press
right
in the White House press room. She says a lot of stupid things. Of course, her statement's not accurate. It's because when you pay people not to work, you shouldn't be surprised when you can't find workers. And we can't find the workers to unload these ships and do the every single employer I talk to in the 4th District and all over the country. Right, we travel a lot. Every single employer I talk to tells me they can't find enough people to work. And somehow that's because the Biden administration is going to pay people not to work. And it's just stupid economic policy.
Second quick hit, Alejandro Mayorkas, the DHS secretary, says the border is closed. It's just as secure as it was a year ago. True or not?
No, completely false. March was the highest month on record for illegal crossings until April. April was the highest month until May. May was the highest month until June. June was the highest month until July when 212,000 illegal migrants encountered on our border. And August went all the way down to 208,000. My guess is it would have been an even higher number. But there was the huge problem of the Haitian refugee issue at the Del Rio Bridge. So that's the pattern. And of course, he says even though it's 1.7, the largest records in like number in this amount of time in 10 months time since the 1986 law. But he tells us, oh, it's the border's secure. So anyone with a brain knows it isn't.
Does Congress, do you know the actual number? Do you believe Mayorkas when he says he doesn't know how many are here? He said it could be 10, it could be 12, it could be 15, it could be 20,000. Do you think he doesn't really know?
Total illegal immigrants, he probably doesn't know the number. It's probably bigger than all the estimates, 10, 11, 12 million that we've heard is probably larger than that. But we know 1.7 million have come into the country just this year. I mean, just in 10 months. This is how crazy it is. We went from a secure border to complete chaos in 10 months. We went from energy independence to the spectacle of having the president of the United States beg OPEC to increase production in 10 months. We went from relatively safe streets to rising crime in every major urban area in this country because Democrats continue to defund the police. We went from being respected around the world to thousands of rockets being fired on our friend and ally Israel to the debacle that was the exit of in Afghanistan. And you can just go down the list. They have not done one thing right, not to mention Fauci and all his misstatements and misleading things he said about told the American people. I mean, it is literally the worst administration certainly in our lifetime, but maybe in the history of this country.
Are these vaccine and mask mandates legal?
I don't think so, and they're going to get challenged in court. So they're wrong on a liberty standard, they're wrong on a constitutional standard, but they're also wrong economically. I mean, here's the Democrats' economic plan. Lock down your economy, spend like crazy, pay people not to work, and then for all the people who are working, we're going to raise your taxes. Oh, and because you're having trouble finding people to work, the hardworking people who were heroes just a year ago, the police officers, the healthcare workers, all on the front line, if they don't get the vaccine, if they don't do what Joe Biden says, you're going to have to fire them too.
It's bizarro world.
It's a crazy.
It is.
It's complete craziness.
District 4 Republican, great state of Ohio. It's Jim Jordan. Last question on your book. Do what you said you would do, fighting for freedom in the swamp. I've had many members of where you serve in the House and of the Senate who have come on this show and said, I'm going to this, I'm going to that, I'm going to that. Just give us the House. Give us the Senate. Give us the president. We gave you guys everything. And then half of the people, at least, if not more, didn't do what they said they would do. I literally, Jim, have had senators on my program who said, you know, you say things in a campaign you really know you can't do once you get there. That's what you're talking about, isn't it? I mean, do what you said you would do. That's not hard.
No, we make this job too complicated. What'd you tell the people you're going to do when you ran for the job? If they gave you the privilege of serving, if they elected you, go do what you said. No one did it better. No one did more of what they said they were going to do than President Trump. Best president we've ever had. He said he was going to cut taxes. He did. Reduce regulations. He did. Best economy in the world. We had it. Put conservatives on the court. He did. Build the wall. He did. Get out of the Iran deal. We did. Put the embassy in Jerusalem. He, I mean, you could just go down the list. There's a whole bunch of other things. So in our book, we talk a lot about interactions and behind the scenes kind of stories with President Trump. We talk about the Freedom Caucus. And our mission is to do what we said we would do and fight for the people who think that this town has forgotten them. I talk about the formation when we decided to make a change in the speaker and push John Boehner out as Speaker of the House. Talk about that. And then I really get into the investigations. I've had the privilege in my chance to represent the folks in the 4th District of Ohio to sit on the Oversight Committee and the Judiciary Committee where we do the big investigations. And this is the IRS targeting scandal when they went after people like you and the folks who listen to your great show and watch your stuff. And the Benghazi scandal, an investigation, and of course, some behind the scenes look at the impeachment when Adam Schiff down in the bunker of the basement. We spent a lot of time on that. So I think your folks will really enjoy the read. Then get it at Barnes & Noble or at Amazon right now. You can pre-order it now.
Get it now. Do what you said you would do, fighting for freedom in the swamp. Jim, this is it. I know you got to go because we have some technical issues that you guys have been great about. This why they can't stand Jim Jordan and Donald Trump? Because you said you would do something when you ran. You actually did it. Politicians were all like, well, he's not going to really do all that stuff. And then you guys do it. That's the problem, right? No,
exactly right. When President Trump came to this town, he got all that done in spite of everyone, every Democrat against him, everyone in the mainstream press against him, all the bureaucracy against him, and a bunch of Republicans against him. And in spite of all that, got more of what he said he would get done than anyone we've ever had. That's what the swamp didn't like. And that's why they tried to throw him out of office before he got there. They tried to throw him out of office when he was there. And they're still trying to throw him out of office, even though he's already left office, because they know he's going to come back in 2024.
Thank you for what you do for our country. Thank you for what you do for Ohio. Thank you for loving America. It's Jim Jordan, District 4 Republican. Go to jimjordanforcongress.com. Get the book, Do What You Said You Would Do. Jim, let's do it again soon. Thank you.
We will look forward to it. Thanks, Joe.
All right, brother. We're back after this. Stay right here.
Joe Pags.